This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, and today I want to talk about those times when we cannot use peer assessment, we cannot use self-assessment techniques, we cannot use automated assessment, and we literally have to mark a very big stack of papers or homeworks or books by hand. And every teacher has to do this, even though we are surrounded with so much technology these days, there are still times when we have to mark things by hand. For example, if it's a high stakes assessment that we've just taken in, such as an end of year exam, a mock exam, a lot of teachers are doing mock exams right now as I record this. If it's some kind of end of unit assessment, we may have to mark those papers by hand. Now, when I was a newly qualified teacher, I used to really, really hate this job. And I don't think really any teacher thoroughly enjoys having a very large stack of papers to mark, because it's very time consuming, and oftentimes there are things that we're doing to make life harder for ourselves as well. Now, over the years, and I've been teaching for 17 years now, I've become quicker and more efficient and better at marking things by hand, and it's become, let's say, less onerous than it was all those years ago. So I'm going to give you some tips, some tricks, some techniques today, and some ideas on how to mark large stacks of papers or homework or assignments in the most efficient way possible. So number one, only mark one page or one question at a time. Now, what does this mean? Well, some teachers, unfortunately, are still taking in a stack of exam papers and marking paper one, paper two, paper three, paper four, or Cindy's paper, then Judy's paper, then Thomas's paper, or Mark's paper. And I've made those names up, obviously. But there's too many teachers who are still marking one paper, then another paper, then another paper in entirety. And I used to do that when I first started teaching, but it is incredibly inefficient. What you should be doing is mark question one of student one, then question one, student two, question one, student three, question one, student four. So you're marking the same question repeatedly for each student, and then you turn over and you do question two for each student and you mark that, or page one, mark that for every student first, and then page two, mark that for every student, and you keep going like that. Now, why does this work so well? Because after about two or three attempts at marking that question or that page, you start to see patterns and you start to become quicker at marking that particular question or that particular page. So it speeds up the process of marking dramatically. And I know it sounds like a basic, and it is a basic, but still many teachers are not doing that, particularly newly qualified teachers. So remember that, one page at a time, one question at a time. Now, number two, this is going to be controversial for many people, but I'm a strong believer in the fact that we should not take marking home with us as teachers where possible. Do not take it home. I think it's important for our mental health that home is home, where we do our relaxation and we're with our families, and school is school. And I think there does need to be that separation between home and school. Now, I know it's not always possible. I know that people have complicated pick-up and drop-off situations for their children. People have things to do. I'm aware of that. But where possible, try to do all of your marking in your free periods at school, or even at lunchtimes and break times if you have time. I've always found that it's much less stressful and much more productive for me personally to mark stuff at school rather than take it home and then procrastinate because I want to watch a bit of TV, or I want to play on my phone, pardon me, or I want to, I want to relax a little bit at home. And I find that I can't get through things as quickly at home as I would do if I was at school. So remember that, everyone. Try your best to keep marking and keep schoolwork at school. And when you go home, you then have no marking to do. It's great for your mental health. Again, when I was a newly qualified teacher, I was obviously very keen. I wanted to make my mark. I wanted to have an impact. And I took piles and piles of books home with me. They were very heavy. That's an issue, first of all. And I would be just spending so much time, so much of my free time, which I should have been spending with family, marking that work. It's much better, in my opinion, to stay an hour later at the end of the school day and get the work done then than to bring it home. And to my embarrassment, there have been moments in my teaching career where I've taken piles of work home, I've not got it marked at home, and I've brought it back to school unmarked. It is much easier to procrastinate when we're at home, I think. So think about how you can keep your marking at school if possible. Now, the third tip I have, and again, this is a mistake I've made in the past, don't promise your students a handing back date. What does that mean? Well, if you've just given your students a test paper, you have to mark that by hand as the teacher. Don't promise the students you'll get this back by next lesson, or you'll get your test back next week, or you'll get your scores back in 2 weeks' time. Don't make any promises like that. You don't know what will come up. You don't know what situations will stop you from meeting that deadline. And then all of a sudden, you've disappointed those students. So I always try to be a little bit more diplomatic with this. And I'll say to my students, you'll get your papers back as soon as possible, or you'll get your scores or your grades as soon as possible. And then, of course, I aim to get those papers marked in a timely manner. I do believe it is important to provide feedback in a timely manner. But I've fallen into the trap many times of promising my students, you'll get your papers back next lesson. Well, next lesson's 2 days away, and I've got this big stack of papers to mark, and I've found I've not been able to get them marked on time. And then I'm saying to the students, oh, it'll be next lesson, and it's quite embarrassing. So try not to do that. Just say to your students, you'll get the papers back as soon as possible, and then aim to get them back to your students in a timely manner. Now, a fourth one. Again, this sounds like an obvious, but there are many teachers I've worked with over the years who've made this mistake. I've made this mistake early in my career as well. And that is, make sure you do not give the tests back to the students until you've recorded the data. Now, what does that mean? Well, you've probably got some kind of spreadsheet at school, some kind of Google Sheet, some kind of system for recording data from tests and assessments. It might even be a page in your teacher's planner. But always record that data before you give test papers back to the students. Because if you don't do that, some students will take the papers home. They might all take the papers home. And then what you've got to do then is get those papers back so that you can input the data. Again, it sounds obvious, but it's a kind of rookie mistake that particularly newly qualified teachers make. And again, to my embarrassment, I have made that mistake in the past. So do make sure that the papers are marked, first of all, and that you've recorded that data where it needs to be recorded before giving the tests or the assessments or the papers or the assignments, whatever it is, back to the students. Now, number five. Again, a logistical one, this. Designate a part of your room, your classroom, or maybe you have a section in the staff room where you can keep your papers. Your classroom space and your workspace needs to be really organized, particularly when you're marking things by hand, because it is very easy to lose papers. It's every teacher's worst nightmare, losing an exam paper, losing an assessment, because you're not organized and you don't know where you've put certain papers in your classroom. It happens to the best of us. I'm very grateful, touch wood, that it hasn't happened to me often, where I've misplaced a paper, but it has happened once or twice again early in my career. Thankfully, I always found the paper so I could give it back to the student, but I have worked with teachers over the years who have lost exam papers, who've lost assessments, simply because they've not kept track of where they've put that stack of papers, or they've just not been organized in their classroom. So it's very important you have some section of your room or some place where you can keep all of those papers, and do make sure that you're really organized with that. It's incredibly stressful to lose a student's paper, not be able to find it, and then somehow you have to solve that problem. Although it should never happen in the first place, if you do lose a student's paper or assessment or test, there are solutions to that. Do, of course, keep your line manager informed about that. It may involve getting the student to take another assessment at another point in time, or maybe repeating that assessment, although it's probably better to give the student an assessment with different questions that cover the same topic, because of course the student has seen the original assessment questions already. But I think a better solution is don't lose the papers in the first place. Have somewhere set aside in your room where you can keep high stakes assessments, high stakes homeworks, high stakes assignments, so that they don't go missing in the first place. Now, the next one, this is going to be a little bit controversial, I think, but I don't believe it's necessary for teachers to write comments on students' assignments, except for maybe the occasional excellent, well done for doing that, great calculation, something specific that's involving some praise is okay. But I've seen, again, so many teachers over the years, I was one of them when I was an NQT, writing very detailed comments on students' assessments. They should have the mark scheme. And that actually brings me on to the last point, so I'll kind of mix these. But the students, after they've got their test back, they should have access to the answers. And they should have access to the mark scheme, whatever subject it is. And then once the students have their tests back from you and they know their score, which of course will involve you doing some ticking and flicking of that test paper, write their score, write their percentage on the front. But I don't believe it is necessary these days for teachers to be writing lengthy explanations for each student to tell them why they've got a question wrong or what they could do to improve. It is not an effective way of providing feedback. It is actually more effective for the students to get their papers back from you and then they make corrections using the official mark scheme, using the official answers, using the model answers. Now, why is that so effective? It's because, first of all, when the students are doing that, you can walk around the classroom and talk to individuals. If you're really organized, and I strongly advise this, if a student has really messed up on a question, you can write, and this is old school, so you'll like this one. My teachers used to do this back in the day. You can write, "See me," or "Please see me," or "Please have a chat with me" on that question. And then the student can come to you and you can have a conversation with that student about why they got that question wrong. It is a much more efficient and effective way to provide feedback to that student than writing a paragraph of explanation on that student's work. And if you're repeating that for multiple students, it just takes up so much time. It's very stressful and it's ineffective. So hand the papers back to the students. Always provide the mark scheme. I don't know why some schools and some very prestigious schools, I have to say, do not provide mark schemes to tests and assessments. It totally baffles me that there is no logic behind that. Students need to know why they've messed up, why they've made mistakes, how they can improve. And I think the only way to do that is to provide the mark scheme, the official answers, the model answers to that test or assessment or assignment after the students have received it back. Very, very important. I know it's not so clear-cut in subjects like English or essay writing, where there might be a rubric or, you know, it might be a little bit more vague and obscure as to where the students can get the marks. But there has to be some kind of feedback afterwards. Students have to know where they've gone wrong. And that might involve some live marking, it might involve some one-on-one conversations after the students have got their tests back. So there were actually, believe it or not, 7 things I covered there, everyone. So I'm going to go through them again. So 1, only mark one page at a time or one question at a time. So what does that mean? It means question 1, student 1, question 1, student 2, question 1, student 3, and you mark like that. Then move on to question 2, student 1, question 2, student 2, question 2, student 3, like that. Rather than marking the whole paper for student 1, then the whole paper for student 2, then the whole paper for student 3, it's very inefficient to do it that way. Mark one page or one question at a time. 2, don't take marking home if you can help it. It is much better, if possible, to stay a little bit later at school to get marking finished than to take home that heavy pile of papers and then procrastinate when you get home. Don't take it home if possible. 3, don't promise a hand back date or a handing back date to your students. You don't know if you'll be able to meet that particular commitment. Say to your students, you'll get this back as soon as possible, and that's enough. And then aim to give the assessment back with marking, with a score, with a percentage, whatever feedback is necessary in a timely manner. 4, record the data in terms of scores and percentages or levels or grades in your school system, whatever system it is you have, before giving the tests or assessments or work back to the students. So crucial. 5, designate a part of your room to keep high stakes assessments and papers and assignments so that you don't lose them. Number, what are we on? We're on number 6. No need to write comments on assignments and high stakes assessments. Get the students to use a different coloured pen if necessary and make their own corrections to their own papers. Or if you have a class where the social dynamic works really well, they can swap their papers and they can add corrections to those papers. There is no need for you as a teacher to be writing lengthy explanations for every question for every student. It is inefficient and it's not highly effective. And finally, every test, assessment, high stakes assignment, assessment or test, whatever it is you're setting for your students, must have a mark scheme, must have an official set of answers, must have model answers. And crucially, it's important to share that mark scheme, share those model answers with your students when they've received their assessments back. So everyone, I do hope that was helpful. I thought about this because at the moment I am marking mock exam papers. So this is something I've got to mark myself by hand. And I thought that this would be useful for teachers everywhere. Again, this is something that I don't think a lot of teacher training colleges are talking about. It's not something that typically comes up in a master's degree in education, or even your standard everyday teacher training courses. But they are things, logistical things, that every teacher, I think, needs to know. So I do hope that's been helpful. If you have a topic request, please feel free to email me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's info@richardjamesrogers.com. And why not check out my award-winning, best-selling book for high school teachers called The Quick Guide to Classroom Management, 45 Secrets That All High School Teachers Need to Know. And you'll find the Amazon link to that book in the show notes. Thank you, everyone. Until next time, bye-bye for now.